Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 20 of the Three Quarter Time Podcast. I'm joined in the flesh with Cookie. Hello. And T-Gub is reporting live back from the Three Quarter Time studio back in Melbourne.
Home base. Never leave.
Sensational like a round of football's happened. Fremantle, they cement their... They prove their finals credentials, maybe. Knock off Collingwood by a point at the G. Gold Coast get dacked by an annihilating Adelaide. Hawks keep their Tasmania streak alive. The Cats stave off a valiant St Kilda. Sydney still got a pulse. Very exciting. Very exciting times as the AFL season's heating up towards the conclusion. T-Gub, how have you been?
Very well. Very well. Not as refreshed as the two of you look. Up in the sunshine state of Australia, you look beautiful. God, you've both got a Queensland sunshine glow. It's magnificent.
Well, what have we been up to, Cookie? What have we been up to in old Queensland?
Well, we have been on the beach every day. Today was a bit of a rough one, actually. We went out.
Big swell.
We went out. I said at the start of the week, I said, there is no way someone can drown at this beach. And it took about 4 days for a massive swell to come, and no one was swimming today because it was that dangerous.
They banned us from the beach. They told us to get out. It was taking us literally from Broad Beach back to Surfers. Very, very fast track way to get there. But we've explored Queensland, seen some nice live comedy, gone to Brisbane. You know, Cookie over here is a very big comedy aficionado, I like to think, and he really showed us the way. So enjoying our time up, nice and refreshed.
That is phenomenal.
Nice and refreshed. Luckily, we've caught some of the games. So, should we just get right into it?
That sounds phenomenal.
Let's get right into it. So, Essendon, they just got absolutely pantsed on Thursday night by GWS. I'm not sure if you saw at the end of the game, Aaron Cadman was sitting on the bench, and at the final siren, he literally just mouthed, "Thank F, that's over."
So, oh, bang.
Apart from that, there's really not much to add. Cookie, what did you say from the game?
Just quickly, Jakey was phenomenal.
The package.
Against his old club.
The package.
He found it so many times, which is unbelievable.
This is one of his best games as a Giant. He was very good. The package. He certainly delivered.
All I can say is, when he was playing against Geelong the week before, I thought he'll have one good game. It'll be against the Cats and he'll do nothing else for the rest of the season. Well, he did well against the Cats. He did well against the Bombers and he'll do nothing for the rest of the season.
Yes.
That's my big call. That's my big call on Jakey Stringer. T-Gub, did you watch much of the game?
No, I didn't want to.
Respectable. I think we left about halftime and we split the G instead. Drink responsibly. But
we've got much better things to do than watch the Bombers and the Giants on a Thursday night. No disrespect to either institution.
Moving on from that, Friday night, that was the doubleheader.
Yes.
Melbourne?
No.
And, that was Saturday, sorry. It was Brisbane Dogs. The Dogs, that's right, they are competitive against a top eight side, but again, just fall short. They fall short by about, was it 6 points? Something like that. Brisbane looked to ultimately be the better team, but the Dogs, they're just not able to get over that final hurdle. They can mount those sort of last-minute comebacks. They did the same thing against the Suns when they played up in Darwin. I think they chased down three or so goals with 5 minutes to go, but they still went down. They kicked themselves out of it against Geelong. They lost late against Freo. Collingwood, they lost by 6 points. And then obviously against the Lions, Riley West kicks a goal to bring it back within a kick, but with a minute or so to go, but Brisbane's just too good.
Yes, they were. They were. Another honourable loss for the Doggies. Poor buggers.
At what point does like, at what point is a Longaborough loss not enough? They're obviously chasing, but as we were speaking last time, because we've had a bye round, as we were speaking last time, like, the Dogs are just to the point where if you're going to make finals, you're going to need to beat the teams above you in the eight. And we see with Freo, obviously, they knock off Collingwood, which is an immense win that basically shows that they can mean business up in September.
Agreed. The problem, it's 9-9 at the moment, right? There's a top 9 and a bottom 9. It is so evident. It's so clear. Oh, maybe a top 10 and a bottom 8. Sydney is still floating around, but they'd have things that have to just go perfectly for them. The team that misses the top 8 out of, I mean, I'd say probably Brisbane and Collingwood are going to play finals. I'd say Adelaide probably, just because their percentage is so good, are probably going to play finals. But the other five, the side effects for them and the ramifications for them missing the finals from here are huge. Like, if the Dogs missed, it's a failed year again. If Freo missed, they'll sack Longmuir. If Hawthorn miss, it's like a disaster. If Adelaide missed from here, it would be a disaster. And if Geelong missing from here would be an absolute disaster as well. Like, and Fremantle, as I said, Fremantle, they'd probably lose their coach.
Giants.
And the Giants.
Throw the Giants in there.
Yeah, the Giants. I forgot they're a thing.
They should have made a prelim last year.
They should have done more than that. They probably should have won the whole thing. But yeah, the only one, and if they missed, it would be like, well, they choked last year and then this year they missed the finals. So yeah, the ramifications for the team that finishes ninth is huge.
Hopefully it comes down to the last round. That's what I think. Like,
even, it certainly will.
Like, that's what the fans want. Like, surely it will.
Wouldn't it be
Hopefully
funny? Wouldn't it be funny if a team was like seventh and there were just some upsets in the last round and then they had a big win and they managed to squeak fourth or something?
That could happen.
That would be amazing.
That's a joke. Like,
I mean, that's what Collingwood like you look did like at, a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Like, because on Sunday, obviously, there were actually, Sunday was a very top eight defining day. You had Geelong play St Kilda, who St Kilda obviously have a bit of a vugo over the Cats. Remember, I mean, Cookie will tell you I was incredibly nervous as we were walking the streets of Brisbane watching that game. But then, obviously, Freo played Collingwood, and then Adelaide and Gold Coast was a bit of a top four clash. And Gold Coast probably had a chance to, you know, basically prove themselves as, you know, finals contenders, you know, top four sort of contenders. But you see that they lost, and all of a sudden they're eighth. So they plummeted. You know, and that's one loss.
And even though they have a game in hand, if you put them on 48 points or whatever it is, I think they've got 11 wins now. If you give them 12, they're seventh anyway. So, yeah. Look, the Suns, that game, we'll talk about that now, Adelaide Gold Coast. The Suns dominated well at the start. They just butchered it going inside 50 and couldn't kick a goal. And then in the second quarter, Adelaide had their time in the sun and just absolutely put them to the sword. And I think the Suns are eliminated from top four contention now, in my opinion. I just don't think they can make it anymore after a loss like that. Look, they might prove me wrong. As Dimmer said in his presser, every good side needs a kick in the nuts. And he's hopeful that that's their kick in the nuts. But unfortunately for them, I think they've just...
Yeah, he did say that.
Just had too many. They've had too many kicks in the ball. I mean, they lost at Richmond. They don't deserve to make top four.
Yeah. But I wonder if that loss was somewhat of a carryover from their win against Collingwood. Obviously, they beat Collingwood. But the way I saw that game, I thought they were kind of lucky to win that. Obviously, they won, but I thought by halftime they parked the bus in that game and they looked better in the sense that Collingwood hadn't kicked a goal. Like, they kicked zip 8, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, but Collingwood hit the front.
Like, Collingwood were sort of, they were pressed, well, They just couldn't score. And then you see Collingwood play for about 40 minutes and only lost by 6 points. Obviously, at that game when Elliot kicked the goal, put them up, then they won bang, bang out of the centre and, you know, won the next two clearances and score from it. But I thought they were lucky to win that game. And it sort of said something about, to me, that Gold Coast sort of had trouble stopping momentum. We've seen it through this year as well. Like, the Giants came like a steam train and they lost to them. Adelaide, you know, got on their roll this week. Last week, Collingwood got on a 40-minute roll and Gold Coast couldn't go with them. So there's something about momentum that they can't sort of quell.
And Richmond got on a roll against them and they couldn't stop it.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
And we'll go back to the Pies because they couldn't stop the old heave-ho. They couldn't stop Freo in the last.
How good was that game?
It was a good game of footy. That was a very good game of footy. Hayden Young, the super sub, had like 11 touches in the last quarter.
He did.
Was Hayden Young a sub?
Yeah, he subbed out a Warner.
He subbed on?
Yeah, yeah.
Why was he on? Yeah. Why was he off?
Well, injured. Words, I think.
No, he's come back from injury. So they gave him managed minutes.
Speaking of coming back from injury, Will Day coming back this week, which will be good for the Hawks. But anyway.
Conveniently.
I will, but it is good. The Dockers were supreme. Like, 22 down. I was impressed. I didn't think Jackson had it in him to kick that goal. Absolutely slotted it.
Murphy Reid got Pendles holding the ball. Unbelievable tackle.
What did you see, T-Dub?
I think the positive thing is Freo, you say Fremantle. Everyone associates, my terminology's poor here because I'm tired. Everyone associates boring, sideways kicking, talented midfield, and that's it really. They're just a slow defensive team. But they showed the comp that they have a gear that is a premiership winning gear. It's a gear that only elite teams have. And some of it was Collingwood were being a little bit aggressive too because they were trying to win the game as well. But also, like, they worked really hard. Like, you don't get free in the Collingwood zone without a work rate. So they worked really hard and did really, really well. And it's a testament to them. Like, that... how many times have we seen an interstate club playing a big game? I mean, look at Brisbane. I know they won the premiership last year, but look at how many games they played on the MCG where they were in winning positions and they just absolutely butchered it because they weren't good enough. So for Freo, I mean, I would argue it's Freo's second best win on the MCG behind when they beat Geelong in the 2012 elimination final. Good time.
And then with that, it's good to see. Yeah, exactly right. And Josh Tracy's sort of becoming Mr. Red Time or Mr. Purple Time for the Dockers. I mean, took that game-saving mark, did it against North Melbourne as well, did it against Hawthorn, I think, as well. So Tracy's work rate up and down the ground, obviously he can score goals, but he can actually stem the bleeding and help protect the game for Freo. But Patrick Voss, the prancing pony, announced himself on his first game of the MCG. Delisted by the Bombers, won their best and fairest in 2023, got delisted, came over to Freo in the VFL, and came over. And Justin Longmuir in his post-match presser that he was one of the hardest workers at the club. And I remember a time where Voss couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, so it's good for him to sort of... So to find his footing, kick 6-1 against Collingwood at the MCG, tallying up Darcy Moore. Unbelievable.
Still their biggest...
Well, Pat Voss.
It's still their biggest weakness, though, their forward line. Like, Voss played really well, but, yeah, it's their biggest question mark in the finals, I think. Whereas, like, I'm backing Tex, Thilthorpe and Fogarty to have more better games in the finals than Tracy, Amos and Voss.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
But Fogarty and Thilthorpe have never played in a final, so. And the last final Tex played We all know how that ended. It's a 48-point thumping at the hands of Dusty.
Fourth and tone.
So, just quickly teed up.
Yes.
The Blues on the board. How are you feeling personally?
I really don't care. Just get rid of Deconing and get the compensation pick.
Not even about the
pick.
Coming of Maggie Carroll?
Jeff. Yeah, no, Jeff played well. They all played well. Jeff played well. Moo played well. Moya played pretty well. Flynn Young played well. Scoop Lord played well. I mean, Cripps is Cripps. Waitering's Waitering. Charlie's Charlie. At the end of the day, we just beat Melbourne by under 10 points again, so I'm happy.
Cool. Melbourne are in the bin.
The average margin of a Carlton-Melbourne game since 2019 is 7 points.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a rivalry. Remember what you said the day after?
Now, I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to bring this up because it was hilarious and I was laughing a lot. I said it. Now, I said this as a passing comment, as like a joke in our group chat. I said the Carlton-Melbourne rivalry of the last 7 years is becoming the new Hawthorn-Geelong in the number of close games that they're having. But I touched a nerve of the Hawthorn and Geelong supporters at the other end of the call. They didn't take it very well. So, yeah, I want to get your opinions on it. It was very funny. I had some fun with the lads that afternoon. It was very, very funny.
I'll get up what I said because I just like made a one little paragraph and I just thought
it was an essay.
No, it wasn't really. I just said, but it wasn't like the two best teams for 7 years were going at it full of champions, toe-to-toe, built from a grand final.
Are you saying Matthew Carroll is not a champion?
No.
Yeah, Jeff, you got to give Jeff his flowers.
We were at Jeff's first game. Funny. We love Jeff. We love Jeff on this podcast. Like,
Wake up, Jeff! Wake up, Jeff!
I'm pretty sure I commented that on a post when he got ran down by Charlie Cameron twice in a minute. It got like 30 likes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And we love Jeff. We'd love to get Jeff on the pod one day. We're big Jeff Carroll fans. We love Jeff.
Credit to the Blues. They did what they had to do.
I was listening to it on the radio. They actually played. I watched the last quarter the following day because I was busy and couldn't watch the game. And they actually played. I mean, they got a lot of free kicks. I'll say that. But they actually played really well in the last 5 minutes. They really, really played well. They actually defended properly. And Charles just went back. It was beautiful.
His first goal in a month, I think. Something like that.
His first goal in a month. He kicked three, great man.
Exactly.
Just quickly, I think Jeremy Cameron's basically wrapped up the Coleman.
Yep.
He's what, like 11, 12 in front or something?
Yep. 11. And it turned Stocker inside out and just went bang.
Oh, yes.
On that left.
Oh, God.
Where'd Stocker think he was going? Fair dinkum. He's a left footer at GMHBA in his pocket. You reckon he's going to spin on his right and go back inside? He's obviously going to go back and kick it on his left. In the shallow pockets of GMHBA.
It's just on that game. There were like four goal of the year contenders in that game alone. You know,
yes.
Like you got Wood like kissing it from the boundary. You got Higgins kissing it from Manna making it talk with a leg breaker, and Cameron turning Stocker inside out and dobbing it from that pocket. So a few good goals kicked in that game. It was actually a pretty good game. Just quickly, like Geelong were obviously they were dead accurate, but St Kilda just found a way to hang around.
That was the only difference very annoying. Early.
Yeah. Like they just, for lack of a better word, they were like super dogged. Just couldn't get rid of them. Couldn't shake them. But I think we kicked four unanswered on that basically marked the end of the game, really.
Professional win from a professional team. That's
but
good.
I think, because we were watching it around Brisbane, and I will be honest, I was incredibly nervous about playing St Kilda, I always am. And the stat came up on the thing where it said that St Kilda hadn't won there for, you know, 26 years. And once Cookie saw that, he's like, it's over, mate. And I'm like,
no, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. No, you said it's over. You said if that's in the first quarter, you said, oh, it's over. I said, nah, it's not over. 31 points. Luckily, we toughed it out. Now on the Hawks.
Cookie was right.
Don't worry about the Hawks. It was. I'll tell you what, Guinea's plane was beautiful, though. That was a funny moment.
Wearing an Anzac Day jumper.
That was a funny moment, and yeah. I'm happy that, really, that hopefully really, that can be put behind us.
No one cares, Guinea. Like, the rematch happened, and you lost the final.
No one cares.
But it's the end of the fight.
No, but Port Adelaide ended the fight when they drubbed them in Gather Round. That was the rematch. Definitely. That was the time for Guinea to bring the plane out. Not when you win in Hobart or Launceston in front of five people in the rain.
Against the team without Rosie
Rioli or Horn Francis. Like,
perfect.
And it was not even the proper. It's not even the proper jet. His comment was funny, though. I'll give him that. What did he say? It was like, was this worth 20 bags or something? That was funny.
Yeah, on his Instagram story.
That was good. That was
good. Big Jacko.
Mate, Jack is unbelievable. But I think we get into our unsungs.
He doesn't want to talk about the Hawks. I'm going to kick us off. No one wants to talk about the Hawks.
No.
They are primed.
We don't need to talk about them.
They are primed. Day's coming back. Weddle's coming back soon. Lewis will get games under his belt. They are in the box seat.
Play well, to be fair.
We will see.
If Hawthorn don't get an injury for the rest of the year, you'll win the premiership. No, I'm being serious.
We will see.
They're old.
We will see.
Hawthorn's speed in Rying September in this. I'm saying Hawthorn's speed in the spring. Look out. And they may not have to leave Melbourne this time.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we'll know pretty quickly though, because we've got Collingwood, Brisbane, and Adelaide.
Yeah, you got a tough draw.
On three out of our last five games.
So you need to be
Collingwood. And Adelaide away and Brisbane away.
If Hawthorn,
like, that is literally the
If Hawthorn made the top four hard. From here, that you'll win the flag. I reckon.
Yeah.
Because that means you've beaten the good teams away. So you've earned the double. I mean, if Hawthorn don't leave the MCG, they'll win the premiership.
We will see.
Big test for Thursday night. Massive test.
The
three quarter time cup.
bank the 4 points.
I'm gonna get into my unsungs.
Yes, get into the unsungs.
I'm gonna kick us off.
I've glazed Hawthorn enough for today.
A bloke who is so underrated when you think about it. Like, no, like, the general pundit, I feel like, doesn't know him. And he's so good. And his name is Alex Neil-Bullen.
The quintessential Melbourne skier.
Exactly. Pretty much. He's got a perfect name for it, doesn't he?
When I think of Melbourne, I think of Alex Neil-Bullen.
I can totally imagine seeing him eat charcuterie board just on the slopes.
100%. He had three and had 31 touches, and he kicked some good goals as well. So
he's
making a difference at the Crows, 100%. He's bringing in a level of professionalism, and he's got that premiership cup in his back pocket. So 100%. So he is my unsung hero. Janus, what about you?
I'm sticking with a Crow as well. You boys know how much I'm very big on this player.
He's actually got a jersey.
With Frankie Joshy Worrell. He was unbelievable. 25 disposals, 11 marks, 11 intercepts, and 88% efficiency. If I sort of look at, you know, building sort of an all-Australian kind of team, Josh Worrell's an instant walking for my halfback line. He's a classy, reliable user, provides that running rebound, and he's so good. Aerially, like, I swear every contest he's rarely beaten and he always makes an impact. So I'm going Josh Worrell.
Yes. Shawnee Manor. 3 goals, 24 touches, 11 tackles. Can't do much more than for a small half forward. Can't do much more than that. 3 goals, 3 as well, I think. I think 3 behinds. Good day for Shawnee.
Exactly right. Just before we rank them, me and Cookie were having a little talk today about, like, there's a reason a lot of Adelaide, Collingwood, and Geelong players have gotten unsung because they all bat so deep. Like their bottom six are usually like quite good, and they all have that sort of team connection. So it's sort of interesting to consider that, you know.
Well, I mean, the old adage is you're only as good as your bottom six.
Yeah.
So that's why they're at the top. They're a good side. But I wouldn't say Worrell and Manor are in Adelaide's bottom. I wouldn't say they're in their bottom six.
We weren't saying
players.
They were in their bottom six, but we're just making a sort of observation with the
they bat
with
deep.
The sort of team structure. Yeah.
They certainly do.
So we rank them. How do we rank these boys?
I reckon Neil Bourne, number one. Or like three.
Yeah, and he kicked the goals early too.
Manor kicked them early, didn't he?
He kicked 3-3, and he had like 20-odd.
Yeah, I reckon Neil Bull and Manor, Worrell.
Neil Bull and Manor, Josh.
I reckon that's the...
All right, beautiful. We're going Neil Bull and Sean Manor. Manor.
Hey, what were you saying?
Sorry, Sean. All right.
Thank you.
we've got a clash round this. We've got the Swans, we've got the Battle of the Bridge, the Battle, the Q Clash, and the, I don't know what you want to call it.
The Derby?
The Western Derby.
The three-quarter time
cup. By the way, how good
well.
Would it be to be a Freo fan? West Coast's worst loss and Freo's best win in the same weekend. Imagine work in Perth at the moment. That is amazing. They look like there are going to be some beltings this round, though. But anyway, I am going to go... I reckon Freo win by over 85 points against West Coast.
Oh, come on. Put the money on the line. Say triple digits.
Freo by 100.
Yes, there we go.
I reckon it could happen because they need percentage.
They do.
They need percentage, and they 100% need it. So there's no better way to do it against the rivals. Janus, what about you?
I reckon there is going to be a bloodbath in Adelaide. I reckon the Crows are absolutely going to ravage the Power. They're going to win by 70-plus points.
Oof. Jeez. If that happens, I'll be surprised because a showdown is a showdown. I know a derby's a derby, but a showdown is a showdown. And the thing we
learned... obviously, the last showdown was close, but I reckon Adelaide are just going to rip into shreds.
That's probably the biggest thing I learned when we went to Gather Round was I knew the showdown was big. But it's bigger than the grand final is here in Victoria. It's humongous. Mm. So I like it though. Now, last year I went to probably the worst game of footy I've ever been to as a fan in my life. Carlton lost 8 players, kicked 5 goals, 8 to 16-16. And when I get home, I see a video on my phone of Liam and Janus in the crowd reacting to Josh Weddle's goal from the boundary, of which I was on the opposite side of the ground at the time. And as soon as it left his
boot, that was such a good goal. I'm a Geelong supporter and I still got up about that.
Well, as soon as he kicked that, I'm like, that's in. And I was on the complete opposite side of the ground and I just knew he'd kicked it. Same with Hipwood, by the way. Knew that was in. Anyway, enough about me. Oh, just PTSD. I reckon the Hawks win by 75 plus this week.
I thought you were going to say like 5.
Nah. I reckon Carlton's young players have all played their best games for the year. They will come out and not know what hit them. The Will Day coming back, Carlton will not know what to do. It's just... Hawthorn will go one better than last year and win by 75 or more. That was the most ridiculous game ever. That game highlighted all of Carlton's inefficiencies and like the cracks had been plastered over in the weeks leading up, but then it finally all came to fruition. I remember Cookie said to me after that day, he goes, "Now I know what you're talking about, but they can't kick." Now I know what you're talking about. And it was that day highlighted all of our problems. And since then, we've never really looked forward. which is a bit sad. Yeah,
I like it teed up.
But yes, that was
my prediction. We've all predicted beltings.
Yes.
So we will see. I got a quick story to tell from Janice and I time up in Queensland.
Oh, here we go.
There's a few interesting things. One, it's relatively hard to find footy in a pub. Kinda.
No. Compared to Sydney, I went to Sydney last year, and I tried to find football like in a pub, you know, and I was absolutely shocked that I walk into a pub and they have like 8 screens and they'd all be rugby. That was in Sydney. Here it's a bit harder, but when you have football, they have it right next to rugby at the same time. It's actually kind of nice. Oh yeah, it was segregated to the corner of the room, but that was one pub. But anyway.
We went to a market yesterday.
Carrara
Market, near where Metricon is actually. And in one of the stalls there was this bloke in a Seagulls jersey. And I'm wearing my Hawthorn like jersey
with
the Tasmania sponsor. And he's like, "What are you boys thinking about the stadium?" And he's like, "Where did you vote for?" And I'm like,
and then,
he's like, "Oh, no, he asked me, that's cricket, ain't it?"
Oh,
these boys from the Apple Isle.
And then I was like, I ran with it. I was like, I pretended we were from Tassie. And I'm like, anyway, hopefully we get a stadium, mate. And then it was something interesting we were talking about. He was complaining to us about the state of the NRL. And there was a lot of things that were similar to AFL. He said, the game's gone soft.
You can't tackle. And like,
that's true.
Funny to see that, you know, relation between both codes.
They're having massive tackle.
He said
tackle
the fixturing's poor as well. He said Rabbitohs have played Penrith like 2 times. They haven't played Penrith 2 times in a year for the last like 8 years or something. And he's like, hey,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Stuff like that.
And like, it's funny to see like we don't know much about the NRL because obviously we don't watch it. He doesn't know much about the AFL, but it's funny to see that like the same complaints are happening from both sides without really knowing the other side.
Ah, yes. It's different though, sort of. Because ours is more of an interpretation thing. Theirs is a, like, safety thing. They're really cracking on the high tackles and the cheap shots. Whereas we're more, like, what is holding the ball. So it's different.
True.
It's like we're in our class.
It's different.
It's like we're studying humanities.
Let's just say football's a bit more sophisticated. Anyway. We've just lost all our NRL
viewers.
It has
been good though. There's another thing that happened in Queensland this week was the Lions. British Lions played the Wallabies in Brisbane on Saturday night. And I tell you what, there is so many Lions fans around this area. We have seen so many.
Genuinely couldn't say I've seen a single person walk around in a Wallabies jumper. I genuinely say I see about 35 people every time I leave. In a red Lions jumper.
And we're not even in Brisbane. We're in Gold Coast, which is just, it's awesome. Yeah. Honestly, it's cool. There are so many people that have like come over for it.
That is very
honestly
good.
Cool.
Now, in honor of live events, we get into our discussion point of the week. Now, in case you've been living under a rock, a ex-CEO of a famous tech company in the US was ousted on the Kiss Cam at a Coldplay concert having an affair with a staff member of the same company. Which got us thinking, well, I can't take any credit for this, got Janus and Cookie thinking, what is the biggest breakups in sport throughout history? Whether that be personal or club, like what is just the biggest separation of loved items? I'm too wordy today. So, boys, what have we got?
Kick us off.
I'll kick us off. The one that immediately comes to mind, and I'm sure all the people who love basketball memes out there will know this one. Every time Kevin Durant moves teams, is just a snake with just a lot of different teams, and he just snaked along the way. So, the biggest one definitely was when he left the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah, after the Western Conference Finals in 2016.
Yeah,
he left. They were up, I think, 3-1 and choked it.
Yeah,
and then lost. Yep. And then, Durant decided to join the dark side of the force, made a super team, and basically just ruined the dynamic of the NBA for like 3 years.
Only won two rings, though, thankfully.
True. But that is like, imagine being a Thunder fan. And I was at the time. I was like, what the? Why?
Rings and money.
Jump ship, did you?
Another story, but anyway.
Cookie has no credibility in any sport as a sports fan. He just jumps ship whenever he feels like it.
Jumper. You like that movie with Anakin Skywalker, Jumper. That's a random reference.
T-Dub, what do you have? What input do you got in this conversation?
Brady leaving the Bucks. Brady leaving the Patriots a little bit. Not this, it's different because he was sort of near the end of his career. JT Miller leaving the Canucks in January this year. That was heartbreaking. That was devastating. Gary Ablett probably leaving Geelong is probably the biggest thing I can think of that, from an AFL point of view.
That I have a personal story with Gary Ablett Jr. When I was, so the way I sort of follow football, I was into it pretty much like, I don't know, like when I was a young kid, and then when I was sort of going through late primary school, early secondary school, I was sort of in and out of it. But when Gary Ablett left the Cats, there's a photo of me as a kid. I'm at my nana and pa's. I'm wearing literally all Geelong, like my Geelong jumper, Geelong being a Geelong scarf. I'm absolutely in tears. Like I'm absolutely, there's a photo of me just standing in the corner, absolutely distraught. Nana and pa's like, Hugh, like, why are you crying? I'm like, Gary left.
Please find the photo.
I'll find the photo, but I was absolutely distraught about the fact that Gary Ablett Jr. left the Cats. Yes. Just a little anecdote about that.
Just quickly, in 2013, my family got a dog, and I was like, what should I name this dog? And there's nothing a Hawthorn fan loved more than Buddy Franklin. So I named the dog Frankie. And then a year later, what does Frankie do? He leaves. And I'm like, well, Frankie's still alive. This is a true story. So every time I looked at Frankie for the rest of his life, I thought, geez, this name lasted less than a year. But anyway, I still absolutely love Buddy, but
not everyone. Yeah,
Isaac
Buddy.
Smith was another one. That was poor from Smithy. I do not like when Hawthorn players go to Geelong. It doesn't happen often.
I remember when we saw the first Easter Monday game that Smith played for the Cats. We're sitting in front row. The Cats obviously had a win. They walked down the race, and Cookie, and he's wearing his full Hawthorn kit, gets up. Smithy, I still love you. It's pretty. See Smithy look up and go.
it's pretty hard to like hate a player who won three premierships for you, and arguably should have won a Norm Smith. For Hawthorn.
What about Dale Thomas stayed up? Could that be included?
Was he sort of forced out?
Heartbreak? Nah, because he'd won the premiership with Collingwood. Like he... It's more...
Same with Malthouse.
Deledio comes to mind. From Richmond. I mean, he leaves in 16... ring chasing, admittingly, and then Richmond go bang, 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 and he's not a part of any of them. But he was ring chasing, so people have less sympathy for him. Or he was medal chasing, I should say. There's so many. There's so many little ones.
Yeah. Well, I've got one from very recent. By very recent, it was like 2 weeks ago or something. From West Ham.
This better not be this bloke again.
Yep.
Oh,
he's officially left. Mohamed Kudus has left.
Hell.
And I'm going to be honest. I'll say this for the last time. This has genuinely felt like the most toxic breakup I've ever had in my life.
You are not a this Canucks fan.
Falco-rific. He was our star boy. In 2023, 24, he was our star boy. He had like 16 goals, absolutely taking the piss, dribbling down that right-hand side, just like breaking tackles, scoring from like long range, just like playing with so much freedom. 2024 comes around. Admittedly, we're crap, and he downs tools. He gets in a fight, funnily enough, against Tottenham, gets into a fight with Mickey van der Ven, gets banned for 5 games, comes back, in 38 games, he has 5 goals, only 5 goals. He dribbled himself into trouble. Basically, just he downs tools and just was not there at the club. And I'm going to be honest, he's ring-chased to Tottenham. He wants to play Champions League.
Fair enough.
He wants to play Champions League, but as soon as Tottenham like sort of have a bit of a down patch, he'll down tools again. I'm very annoyed at Mohamed Kudus. Very annoyed.
Yeah.
Goes from our star boy to a snake. Unacceptable.
It's like from a positive breakup. Well, negative for one team, positive for the other. Matthew Tkachuk was a superstar for the Calgary Flames. And then there's a date, and then he got traded on like June something or other to the Florida Panthers, and they are now back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Three cup finals in a row, back-to-back champs.
Yeah.
So,
negative
for...
That makes me think.
Negative for the Flames, because they're crap, but massive upside for the Panthers.
Yeah. That also sort of makes me think in 2001, I think, or no, 2001, Sol Campbell, he was Tottenham's club captain. And in 2001, he requested and he got a transfer to Arsenal. And then obviously notoriously North London rivals. So it was, you have your club captain for Tottenham going to your fierce arch rivals, Arsenal, and he goes there and he wins 2 Premier Leagues and like 2 FA Cups, and he's very important in there. Arsenal went 2003-04, they went unbeaten. He was very important as a centre back in that.
I haven't won one since.
Going from Tottenham to Arsenal is genuinely like Judas betraying Jesus Christ,
or Carlton to Collingwood.
Or that too.
But like if Cripps said, I've had enough, I want to go win a flag, and goes to Collingwood and wins the next 2 premierships.
Yeah. Would you begrudge him?
Nah. Well, it depends. I mean, it depends. Depends what his role was. If he was instrumental... I wouldn't care. But if he went there and did nothing, I'd be annoyed.
If you go there, you want him to at least do something with it.
Like if you go there, like that's why the hate for Kevin Durant isn't as hostile as what it could be, because he was the best player on the best team. But if he went there and say Steph won 2 Finals MVPs and KD averaged like 14 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, he would be slaughtered. By 100%. People. And he already is hated enough because it was terrible what he did. But it could be a lot worse if he wasn't the best player. But like if Cripps left and went to another club and was the best player, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to put it, actually. That's not a bad way to put it all. Well, I think that will wrap up that discussion. Just quickly, around the world, we haven't brought this sport into it, but...
Oh yeah!
I think it was last night or the night before. Oh, we had.
Are you going where I think you're going, Laddie?
I don't think you are. I don't think you are. But I'm going. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to leave that to you. I'm going to the heavyweight boxing championship of the world.
Oh,
no, a bloke called Alexander Usyk. Alexander Usyk, who is now
the West Ham supporter.
Is he actually? Yeah, he is. He's Ukrainian, and he's. Some people are calling him the GOAT. He's beaten Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, and this guy called Dubois twice each, which is like massive. So he's not the biggest bloke, but he's so talented and he's so skilled. He's a left-handed. I would encourage you to go watch. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I think there was 90,000 at Wembley Stadium. They absolutely packed it out.
Damn.
So yeah, credit 24-0. He's never lost.
Was it the knockout?
Yeah, knocked him out like early, just clean. Bang. Yeah.
Bang.
T-Dub, take me away to where you were gonna go.
Yes. To be sure. Now, one of the great sports. I'm not gonna do the accent. I can't do it for long enough. One of the great sports is hurling. It's one of the oldest sports in the history of mankind. And the All-Ireland final was yesterday, Cork versus Tipperary. Now, Cork haven't won it in 21 years. They come out of the blocks. It's even. It's very close. It was 13. It was 16 to 13 points. And then Cork scored a goal, which is worth 3, right on the halftime siren, basically, at the end of extra stoppage time, to put them up 116 to 13, which is a 6-point lead, essentially. Well, not essentially, it is. And then in the second half, now I encourage you to go and watch it, because Tipperary played some of the best hurling I've ever seen. They were just absolutely unbelievable. They minced them. They were down by 6 and they ended up winning. I'm getting the final score up here because I can't remember the score off the top of my head. They ended up winning 327-36 to 118-21. Cork scored 2 points after halftime, which is ridiculously poor. They were just dominated. It was scintillating. And Cork finally got a penalty at the end of the game and they saved it. And it was phenomenal. So on tip, they did really, really well. It was a great game.
Would you say that you have a team for hurling now?
No comment, because I'm not going to reveal T-Dub content on this. So.
Oh, playing coy.
Mate, I'm a
venomous.
I'm a businessman at heart and I've got media training for myself. Yes.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of Ireland, I mean, we were at the Carrara Markets the other day, and we actually saw a bunch of Gaelic football jumpers, like the jerseys.
Bang.
They were being sold at the Carrara Markets. So I was considering getting a county meal for my mate, Oisin Mullen, but it was too big for me.
Oisin, so. Yes. Good man. Yes. I reckon that just about wraps it up.
I think it does. We had a good win over in the cricket last night as well. The Aussies beat the Windies in a one-dayer, I think.
That's after the 3-0.
Drubbing.
Drubbing.
Also, Scott Boland, shout out to you, great man.
Oh,
the 10th Aussie ever to take a hat-trick.
Victorian.
A so,
he's
just
a
phenomenal.
As well.
Yes, Scott, I love you. Oh, Scott, you know what you're worth. I don't know what the end.
It was beautiful, though. Shout out to Scotty.
We love Scotty Boland.
And Richie Stark as well. He took 5 in 15 balls or something.
Yep. Fastest ever. Just phenomenal from Mitchell.
Well, after 27, unbelievable.
But I think that'll wrap episode 20 up.
Yep.
20 down. Thank you very much for listening. We
hope you enjoy it.
We will keep increasing the quality of the content as we go, and hopefully we see you in the next one.
Yes. Thank you, boys. Hey.